they sang beautifully. They sang the song, "Behold, He Comes." Yes, He's coming. There's something they are gifted at. They know how to provoke with the men. Not in a bad way. Yes, they provoke us in a good way. To do good things in the house. Just that same way, we need to provoke the Lord. We need to stimulate that He will give rise, that He will come. Friends, if we don't do anything, the enemy that we deal with will prevent. The Bible says in the book of Daniel that Daniel needed something from the Lord. He wanted God's visitation. And the Bible says he started fasting and praying. Nothing happened. And Daniel knew that that was not right because he knew his God. You know, whenever he calls on God, God comes. So Daniel at the point went to God. He said, "Master, what's going on? 21 days I've been fasting." What did the Lord tell him? He said, "The first day you set your mind to pray and fast, I was coming. But something hindered me." What is hindering your visitation? You must deal with it. And there are three things I will mention this morning. The visitation of God must come. But we must deal with that which will block that visitation from being realized in your life. Is somebody here with me this morning? You see, divine visitation is heaven paying a visit to man on earth. The man of God had talked about that. I'll just highlight some things. Tonight, I hope somebody has their prayer shoe on. We are starting fast tomorrow, so get ready to pray and fast. Hallelujah. He said, when heaven responds to you, earth cannot reject you. We see it clearly in the Bible. When heaven visits you this year, 2016, if somebody will hold on to that word, nothing shall reject you. Are you here with me, somebody? Nothing whatsoever. The purpose of the man of God, as he explained over these past weeks of God's divine visitation, is to terminate every activity of the devil, whether on your job, in your home, in your environment, from your village, from your town. God's visitation this year is to terminate. So I can deduce from that this year I need to be a victorious Christian. I need to be a victorious being. I must overcome. I must be the head and not the tail. We've been fasting for 21 days on Sunlight Radio. And my key point this year is telling people, enough of the cliches. When we say a year, but hey, I don't want a year, but I want now. Because my God is coming to visit me. Are you here with me, somebody? When you are divinely visited, somebody, your life will no longer cooperate with failure. Failure cannot be your portion. How come? If God comes to my house, who dare failures come there? He cannot. I need to provoke this divine visitation. And I pray this night, this day, by the time we get to this, when the word of the Lord is revealed unto you, we'll be able to provoke His visitation upon our lives. Praise God. Praise God. Is somebody here with me today? We need to provoke God's divine visitation. Last night, after the ladies had their program and were going home, for some reason, we passed all the CVS on Jefferson Davis Highway. And we drove Garrisonville CVS. I had no idea why. Rosemont wanted something, but we passed by all the CVS. It was only at CVS she could get it. We drove past all. Went past my house, made a right turn on Garrisonville Road, and got there. We purchased what we were purchasing. And CJ said, "I need to go to the bathroom. We're about to leave." God, for some reason, was delaying us in CVS. We went there, and then a young lady walked up to my wife, says, "Ma'am, can I please use your phone?" Rosemont handed the phone to her, and then she called her daddy on the phone. Said, "Daddy, I've been here at CVS. I don't have a way to get home." And the daddy, Rosemont, she could hear it on speaker. He said, the daddy said, "I'm sleeping. Walk and come." Then Rosemont asked the girl, "Where do you live?" She said, "I live 35 minutes walk from here." A daddy, my God cannot do that to me. The daddy's telling the daughter at night, it was like 11, she should walk in the cold 35 minutes away. And I said, "Whoa." So this morning when we're in devotion, I said, "Rosemont, you just changed the intro of the message. I didn't see it that way." God deliberately took us out of our way. I do not know what might have happened to that girl if she had been walking 11 o'clock at night. In that area, that particular part of Stafford, there's a very bad area. I was so shocked. I said, wow. So this is how God visits people. When everything else fails, he comes in. Something about your situation this year must provoke God for him to come. This young lady was distressed last night. And when we dropped her, she said, God bless you. Thank you. I didn't even ask her name. We just dropped her in a very bad area in Stafford. And the daddy said, I'm tired. I'm sleeping. My God is never tired. He watches over his word to perform. At this morning, it came to my mind. I said, wow. You told your daughter to walk 35 minutes. In the dark of night, what sort of daddy are you? Not the God that we serve. Oh, to glory be to his name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I want to take us through the Bible this morning. One of the first things I think we need to provoke God's visitation, the man of God highlighted on it, I want to take a new dimension, is we need to force God by sacrifice. Say sacrifice. You see, sacrifice is painful, but at the end of the day, it's gainful for you. It might cost you now, but at the end of the day, you will gain something. Nothing touches the heart of God like sacrifice. It goes beyond your convenience. Sacrifice is offering that touches both the giver and it will touch also the receiver. You know what we read in John 3:16? We all know this from Sunday school. That for God so loved the world, that what he did, he gave. If we can ever outgive this man, he show us the example. If you just but sacrifice. Sometimes in your midnight hour, you need to apply the force of sacrifice. What is a midnight hour? When all things seem lost. You cannot find your way. You need to go into that portion of sacrifice. Hallelujah. Whenever you have spent time, you fast and pray and seek in the face of God, your situation does not change. Try sacrifice. I can stand here and recount to you sacrifices upon sacrifices. You see, when the man of God and all of us stand here, we are not telling you stories. We are telling you real life examples of how we sacrifice. And we have come thus far. You must see us as small men here, but indeed we are giants. Hallelujah. I'm telling you something because I know what God is doing this year. I believe it was Thursday or Friday. The man of God sent a quick text online. And I said, man of God, let me quickly go and do this. I went and did it. It was a sacrifice. I got home, opened the mailbox, and sent Pastor the check. There was a miracle check in the mail. Something that is 3 years old. Wow. The company replaced the check. Wow. I'm not lying to you. I sent Pastor the picture of it. Tell me which company owes you money 3 years ago. They wrote me the check and sent it back to me. On the back, they said, this check is in replacement of 3 years ago check. You did not cash it. So here is the replacement check. I took the picture. I have not seen that. I've been in America for almost 20 years. No company has ever written me 3 years later and said, you didn't cash my check I gave you. So here's a new check. It was a sacrifice. And I took the picture and said, man of God, I just got a miracle check. Because this one, I was dumbfounded. And it came about because we just did a simple sacrifice. Child of God, you need to provoke God this year. The word is true. Numbers 23:19 will not lie. God cannot lie. The part for you and I to play is we need to provoke him to come to my aid. Are you not tired of being the tail? You alone, me alone, they are kicking me like football on your job. You know who you are. You know who you represent. But yet still, you are the tail. This is not the fault of God. You need to provoke him this year. The word has come. We'll look at a certain man who provoked God, and something awesome happened in his life. Hallelujah. Pastor spoke from Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11. Richard put it there for me. That awesome scripture. And I like the word he used, but unfortunately I can't pronounce it. So I'll just call it. He said, they were calling some of us KBs. It's a fact. You were outside. Completely outside. But some way, somehow, your sacrifice and your provoking of God this year will do something for you. Turn your Bibles to me into 2 Samuel chapter 6, verse 1. And that's where we'll begin. Amen. I hope I didn't bore you with my stories. Hallelujah. So I'm going to open scripture. 2 Samuel 6, verse 1. Praise God. The Bible says, again, David gathered together all the chosen men of Israel. 30,000. And David arose and went with all the people that were with him from Bel of Judea to bring up from thence the ark of God. The ark of God simply means the presence of the Lord, the visitation of the Lord, whose name is called by the name of the Lord of hosts that dwelleth between the cherubims. Let's go, Richard. And they set the ark upon a new cart and brought it out of the house of Abinadab that was in Gibeah, and Uzzah and Ahio, the sons of Abinadab, drave the new cart. Keep going. And they brought it out of the house of Abinadab, which was at Gilbead, accompanying the ark of God, and Ahio went before the ark. Let's keep. And David and all the house of Israel played before the Lord on all manner of instruments made of fir wood, even on harps and on psalteries and on timbrels and on cornets and on cymbals. Let's go. And when they came to Nacon's threshing floor, Uzzah put out his hand to the ark of God and took hold of it, for the oxen shook. Say shook. Mm-hmm. The 7. And the anger of the Lord kindled against Uzzah, and God smote him there for his error. And there he died by the ark of God. Let's go. And David was displeased because the Lord had made a breach upon Uzzah. And he called the name of the place Perez Zuzah to this day. Let's go. And David was afraid of the Lord that day and said, how shall the ark, or how shall the presence of God come to me? So David would not remove the ark of the Lord unto him into the city of David. But David carried it aside into the house of Obed-Edom, the Gittite. Stop right there. Let's check this story. The ark just killed somebody. And then you said, I'm going to take it to this guy's house. Go kill him. Exactly, Pastor. I've been reading this story until this week the Lord opened my eyes. They must have hated Obed-Edom. Can you imagine that? You have a gun. The gun just keeps shooting by itself. You said, I'm taking it out of my house. I'm going to go give it to my brother-in-law. Obed-Edom must have been a terrible man, that they hated him. So I started doing a study. His name, Obed, it means slave. Edom, of the Edomites. So slave of the Edomites. So he was a nobody. Ephesians 2, 11. He was a KB. I hope somebody is getting revelation. Now, where they got the Nacon floor, they say it was the threshing floor. That's where they did wheat. So it was the slaves who worked there. Now, somewhere, somehow, God wanted to change the story of Obed-Edom. Now, if you check, the Bible says that it was in the house of Abinadab. Bible says Abinadab lived on a hill. Rich, let me find it for you. It's just there. It's when they took it, the ark of the Lord, verse 3. Give me verse 3. I want us to do some study because this was shocking to me. And they set the ark upon a new cart and brought it out of the house of Abinadab that was in Gibeah. Another version say it was on the hill. Now, if you are coming down a hill, I can presuppose that it will be easier for the ark to stumble on the hill. Is it not so? But it got to the threshing floor. Threshing floor, if you study, Eric is not here, is rather a flat surface because they ground corn there. Now, somewhere, somehow, when they got to the flat surface, the ark decided to stumble. God wanted to visit somebody that day. I pray it be you. He stumbled there. So they said, we can't take this anywhere further. Who lives nearby that we don't care about? Let's give it to him. If God kill him, it's okay. He's a slave anyways. And they found Obed-Edom. But let me tell you something. What man proposes is the final word of God that is always your final say. The Bible says at the point when they took it to his house, because imagine, man of God, the thing just killed somebody and you go and give it to another person. What do we expect? He's going to die. Most of all, he's not even a priest. So he doesn't know how to handle it. But I believe somewhere, somehow, Obed-Edom feared the Lord. He must have been doing something in his house to cause God to notice him and said, I need to change this guy's destiny. I pray somebody is doing something in the house to provoke God in 2016. Friends, I'm so angry at the devil over this. You can ask my wife. There's a serious war going on in my heart because I realize that we are being cheated. The Bible says that the cattle on the thousand hills belong to my father. And every day I'm going out, work. Then they give me my paycheck. The IRS take a big chunk. It is not fair. So I must provoke God this year. And I've told him that this year, come what may. Ha! Satan, you are in trouble. Jesus is Lord. Now let's look at Obed-Edom. The Bible says, let's keep going. My God. It says, imagine, the guy was so useless. 30,000 people were invited to the party. He wasn't even there. Because they took it to his house. He was not among the 30,000. They invited 30,000 people. So that almost the whole city. Nobody called Obed-Edom the slave. At the end of the day, they said, let's take the ark there to go and kill him. But that was not the plan of God. And that is not the plan of God for your life. Hallelujah. Many of us are going through this. People are wishing evil for you. You've come from a long way. Maybe you are the only person from your village that has made it thus far. But yes, still, you are here helping everybody. But somebody is underneath killing you. We'll provoke God this year that you'll be liberated in the name of the Lord Jesus. The Bible says that when they took it to Obed-Edom's house, what they were expecting did not come to pass. How so? The Lord is good because he knows what concerned me and he will always deal with it. Now go to verse 11. Rich. The Bible says, and the ark of the Lord continued in the house of Obed-Edom the Gittite. 3 months. If you study scriptures, the Bible says, Abinadab, the ark, when they brought it back, when the Philistine took it, it stayed in his house for 20 years. Nothing happened. This guy, 3 months. What happened? And the Lord blessed the slave who was called Obed-Edom and all his household. When God acts, nobody can stop. It was in Abinadab's house for 20 years. There is no account in scripture that says Abinadab was blessed. At the end of the day, one of his sons died. If you are the apple of God's eye, nothing can stop what God will do for you. Are you here with me? Somebody had, we say in Africa, maltreated, ill-treated, whatever. The guy was called a slave. 3 months, something began to happen. The same people that wanted him dead, they went running to David. Hey! There they come. The slave, Maserati, he has. Mercedes-Benz C-class he has, if you see the mansion he has, David, come. The one that we were insulting. If you see the suit he's wearing now. Hey, David, come and see something. Tell somebody, come and see you. 3 months. He provoked the hand of God somewhere, somehow. That God diverted his course. And said, I must go to Obed-Edom's house. What are you doing with your life in your secret room? The ladies were here last night and they watched that movie. There is a force in prayer that can change the destinies of ordinary people, become super ordinary. I believe Obed-Edom was a man of prayer and nobody noticed because he was a slave. Nobody regarded him. He was a nobody. When we provoke God, you become a somebody. Ah, the Lord is good. Ah, the Lord is good. It didn't stop with Obed-Edom just by himself. Ah. The Bible says that the guy was a slave. God came and changed his entire destiny. From slave to the master of the city. Not only that, if you continue studying scriptures, I want it because we are almost at the end. It doesn't matter what your education status is, neither your social status or your family history. When God visit is provoked upon your life, things will change. And things must change. You see, his story is quite interesting. If you continue reading the scriptures in 2 Samuel, you see that so many things happened to this guy. God had a plan for him. And when the man of God spoke this word this year, I said, you know, this year, I need to see God stepping into my hall. I will do whatever it takes. And that was Obed-Edom. The Bible says the guy that was a slave, if we keep studying scripture, you see that he went from slave. The Bible says he became a harp player. When they took the ark, he said, the way God visited me and it was good, wherever God goes, I'm going there too. You see, that's a mistake we made. We get little and we said, it's enough. We cheat ourselves. Obed-Edom said, what? Slave. Maserati I have now. Why should I leave this one? No, I'll follow. The Bible says he followed. He became a harp player in the house of God. I'm trying to get us somewhere because we need to go. After he became a harp player, we check the book of Chronicles. The Bible says he started guarding the gates. He and all his children, they were guarding the gates of the Lord. Promotion was coming from a slave. Now, if you check scripture, the Bible says at a point when all the things were taken, he was the one in 2 Chronicles. The Bible says David placed him, the guy, placed him in charge of all the things in the house of God. And I checked, the Bible says that it was over 2.5 billion worth of gold articles that Obed-Edom was in charge of. When God visits you, he grants you generational wealth. It will not end today. If you think I'm lying, I want to show you something. My God. I said, Obed-Edom, maybe I need to change my name to Obed-Edom too. Because the guy was a slave. He started playing harp. Richard, show me 1 Chronicles 26. Let me show you something. My God. Verse 1. Concerning the divisions of the porters of the Kohites was Meshelemiah, the son of Koliah, of the sons of Asaph. Verse 2. And the sons of Meshelemiah were Zachariah, the firstborn, Jediah, the second, all these, Diadia. Let's go. 3. Elam, the fifth, Jehohanan, the sixth, Eliam, the seventh. Keep going. Moreover, the sons of who? Were who? Shemaiah, and he named all of them. The guy was now porter in the house of the Lord. Now jump quickly to 2 Chronicles chapter 25, verse 24. Let me show you something. Blow your mind. Because we need to provoke God's visitation upon our lives. 2 Chronicles 25, 24. Bless the Lord. He's getting there. He said, Amaziah was 20. And he took all the gold and silver and all the vessels that were found in the house of God with who? Oh. From a slave to the president of the bank. Is somebody here with me? Somebody's destiny is about to change. Because God is about to visit somebody. The guy was a slave. They wanted him to die. At the end of the day, the Bible says that, and he took, because there was a battle, he said, and the king that came, they took all the gold and silver and all the vessels that were found in the house of God with who? May God change somebody's story because of his visitation. Wow. This is, and the treasures of the king's house, the hostages also, and returned to Samaria. The slave who somebody wanted to kill, God raised him up just because of his visitation. May God visit you today. Amen. Something this guy was doing in his house, and I pray, may we discover it. He fallen into the heart of God and said, Lord, maybe I've been forgotten by my friends and my loved ones. Remember me too. Hallelujah. Sacrifice is important. God would not have trust Obed-Edom if he hadn't been a man that feared God. No way. I pray somebody discover and pay that sacrifice. We know about Abraham. I don't want to talk about Abraham. I wanted to find some obscure person because we know Abraham was blessed. Second thing, sacrifice, develop your praise and worship life. If I can tell you a secret, I am where I am today because I discovered praise and worship. I've been frank with you. Things that I see in my life and places I've been is because I've tapped into that thing called praise and worship. The Bible says in Psalm 76 verse 1, in Judah is God known. Judah signifies praise. There's something that provokes God when you begin to praise. There's something that provokes God when you begin to worship. Psalm 22 and verse 3 tells me that, but thou art holy. Oh, says the Lord is holy. O thou that inhabitest the praise of his people. Inhabit means live. Inhabit means somebody is dwelling there. So this year, if I want to provoke God to visit me, I must learn to worship. I must learn to praise like I've never done. Is somebody here with me today? I said, When you know how to go in your closet and lift your voice, I just want to praise you. You are no one else. You are hiding and you are telling him. There's a man I follow from Ghana. He's in America. His name is Ron Canoli. The Bible says at a point in his life, he was a struggling musician. And one day, something came unto him. He said, I'm not going to do a concert for anybody. This concert is me and God. It's in his book. He said he spent the whole night with his organ. And he had a concert for the Lord. The moment he got done with it, he became a worldwide musician. He said, I'm not playing for anybody. He sacked everybody from the church. I don't want any other musician. Me, by myself, and God. If you don't show up tonight, God, I will keep worshiping you. He wrote it in his book. And he said, when he went to Ghana once, and he said, man, if I had been a Ghanaian, God would have come double for me. Because he said, the way Ghanaians worship, he had never seen that before. He said he wished he had that way to worship. But what he had done, it provoked God. There was no musician that I know from Ghana who never emulated this guy called Ron Canoli. There was an anointing that came on his life. And he said it came because one day he said, I had a concert of a lifetime. I play for nobody, but I play for God that night. Get into your mood of worshiping God. Because when you worship him, there's a fragrance that goes up. And he begins to say, yummy. He said, woo, what is going on there? And he said, oh, yeah, me, da, da. He said, Angel Michael, what is happening on 13928 Jefferson Davis Highway? Go and locate somebody. Your worship provokes something in the heavenlies. I wish you had an idea. As was my remember years ago when we were in that chamber and hall, we were talking about it yesterday. I said, man, I still remember that door. But my goodness, there was an awesome thing happening in our room. You know, when you are starting out and you are broke, the only thing you can do is pray and worship. We used to pray and worship because it was not easy. But something God left there, like the story we watched. When we left that place, I said, whoever comes and occupy this place, they will be blessed. Because we spent time doing the work and worshiping God there. I met another man in Ghana. We all know him, Reverend Eric Kwapong. One day, somebody gave me a tape of his. I played, put it in my cassette player. Those days, we don't have CD, we have cassette. And something immediately transformed in my room when I started playing this thing. I said, my God, can somebody be in touch with the presence of God like this? I want to desire it. And when the first day I met this man, and he looked at me, we are still friends to today, almost 25, 30 years later. He calls me my son, my Liberian son. The guy could just lift his voice, and you could physically see a glory cloud in the place. There's a place in worship that we haven't touched yet. We haven't tapped into. Because when we do, oh, Jesus is Lord. Something is going to happen. We are almost at the end, somebody. So I said sacrifice, like Obedidom did. I said praise and worship. My final thing for you is something simple. We all do it. Prayer and fasting. If we need to provoke God this year, please forget about the food. Hallelujah. I'm being very frank with you. We are not boasting. This pants was very tight for me a couple of weeks ago. We are serious this year, to be frank. Now let me tell you something. God has blessed us with a place over there. If we don't get serious people to break that ground and win Woodbridge, we can't let people laugh at us. It's not going to happen. Are you here? And we thank God, the man of God had a vision. He said, at the beginning of every month, 3 days, let's leave the food. Go before his presence. If God don't visit us this year, then it's not even going to happen. No way. There's going to be a visitation. Each and every one of us, we are going to have a visitation. Whether you like it or not, he will come. Because we will pray and we will fast. Now let me show you some things real quick, and then we'll get into a short time of prayer. Hallelujah. We all know the story of this wonderful guy called Peter. The Bible says that in Acts chapter 12, verse 5, they arrested him. When they arrested him, the Bible declares that, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for who? For Peter. Keep going, Rich. And when Herod would have brought him forth the same night, so Herod had made up his mind, God will not visit Peter. I'm going to kill him in the morning. Like Obedidom, they were preparing to destroy him. But the church had offered what? Prayers. To who? God for Peter. Now, the Bible says, and when Herod would have brought him forth the same night, Bible says Peter was sleeping because he knew of a surety that God is not a man that he should lie. Because the master had told him that they were going to preach the gospel in Judea, Samaria, all over. But Herod was stopping them. So what happened? He said Peter was sleeping between what? Two soldiers, bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door. Ah, one man sleeping. Two soldiers, then two standing, some at the door. If we are going to the top, you see there were 16 soldiers guarding this one guy to stop the visitation of God. Keep going, Rich. And behold, somebody say, behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him. Where did he come from? There was a visitation. He said he came upon him and light shone. You were in the darkness. The Bible says light shone on Peter in the midst of the prison. And then the Bible says he did something. He touched him. Peter. He woke up. What's going on? He said, arise quickly. Peter was laying down. Jump. Chains fell. We sing the song. Every chain shall be broken. Let's go, Rich. It says, and the angel said unto him, gird yourself. So I mean, maybe his pants was off because he was a prisoner. First thing he did, put the pant. He says, gird yourself and take your sandals. Because when they put you in prison, they take your shoe, they take your pants because they think you run. You can't run naked. So he put it on quick. Let's go. He said, he put his sandals. And he went out and followed him. Wist not it was true, which was done by the angel, but he thought he was seeing a vision. This year when God visited you, it will look like a vision to you. Because the things that you were not handling before, you start handling it, you are still dreaming. Hey, I hope somebody was here. He thought he was having a vision. Keep going, Richard. He says, and they went past the second, they passed the first gate, the second gate. They came into the iron gate. Now, something strange here. God visited him. The first gate he passed, they didn't give it a name. Second gate he passed, there was no name. The last one, the one that always you just almost get there, something happened. The Bible calls it the iron gate. And that gate leads where? Into the city. This year God is going to visit somebody and you will enter that place that has been hidden from you. We will enter. The breakthrough is already here. We are going to 1801. We are no more 1392. We are going to 1801. Ready drive. The Bible says, when he got to the gate, nobody was there to open it for him. Because the presence of the Lord was going before him. The Bible says, the door opened by his own accord. I declare unto somebody this year that as God visits you, whatever door has been shut in the realms of the spirit, whatever has been hindered from you, may it open of his own accord. In the name of the Lord Jesus, many of you that have been looking for your husband, you've been looking for the job, you've been looking for the promotion, I declare from the mountaintops, because my God is not a God that should lie, neither the son of man that he should change his mind. Has he said it, will he not do it? If he said he's going to visit somebody this year, may every door that has been shut in past years because you provoke him, may it be open unto you in the name of Jesus. The Bible says, and he went and passed on the street and went forth. Then the angel went his way. I pray this year, as God visit the Lord of the Harvest Church, as we provoke him by our sacrifice, as we provoke him by our praise and worship, as we provoke him by prayer and fasting, we will enter into a new realm that you yourself will not understand. Stand to your feet with me. There's going to be a visitation. Tell somebody. It is sure. God.